Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Alrighty, third hour. One, two, three. Tiki and Tierney. No Tiki today, though. He's down in Tampa. Probably having a little, what do you think Tiki's doing right now? 5:03 Eastern down in Tampa. What do you think he's doing? Sitting poolside?
At 4:03 Eastern, he was listening to us.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he sent me a text.
Why would he be doing that?
He's sitting by the pool, listening in, just checking in, see how things are going.
Oh, yeah? Interesting. Yeah. Does he approve?
Yeah, yeah.
Does he approve?
He was just, he doesn't love the app, but otherwise he approves of the show.
I hear you. We're inside of the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Well, Teak, if you're listening, buddy, shut me off and go have some fun, will you? Come on. You're doing the double dip with Broadway? Listen to me for. Who the hell would want to do that? Jump in the pool, go walk the beach with Tracy, go get that golf swing, which is going to look hideous on Monday when you're playing the Pro-Am. Maybe stop off at Dick's Sporting Goods and buy a couple of extra dozen balls to get you through the front nine. Yeah. Who am I kidding? That's the next project I got to deal with. Every year, right around now, is when I start to get the internal sweats. You ever hear the meat sweats? I have the golf sweats because I know I'm about to corkscrew myself into the ground again. First of all, I have to pray that I don't get hurt, which I always do. Always. So if I can somehow avoid that for the first time in 8 years, I've got to hope that this ridiculously sloppy, disgusting, homemade swing is repeatable and that I can actually enjoy golf, which for somebody who talks about golf as much as I do, I don't extract a whole hell of a lot of enjoyment from it. Really weird. All right, let's get to this. But I am hooked, and if you golf, you know what I mean. It's like a drug. All right, former Steeler Josh Harris. How about this, Josh Harris? Imagine if this was the beginning of a story, and I'm saying this with a smile. No way do I think that this is the case, but imagine if we learn that Big Ben, this will make more sense when I actually explain what happened, which I will in 10 seconds. Big Ben actually put this ball on the turf because he was hooked up with the mob and he was trying to throw the game. When you see the video, it's pretty incriminating. Obviously, he's not doing that. All right, let me set it up. So, former Steeler Josh Harris believes, this goes back to 2014 Cincinnati, that Ben Roethlisberger fumbled on purpose. Now, I'm going to play the audio for you. Mike, it's pretty lengthy, about 90 seconds, but it's really good. We watched it. I mean, I don't know if it's really true, but it's certainly really good. And we watched it as a show. Mike and I were watching it before we started our show. And he takes you through the video, and he shows you the huddle, and he even references the tight ends who look at each other like, what's going on? Like, everybody was perplexed. There is enough evidence, at least optically, that at least gives you enough incentive to probably side with Josh Harris here. All right, so that's the backstory. Here's what Josh Harris said.
He called an RB run, 42, I believe. But then he tried to give the ball to the fullback, but he hit him on the arm. I talked to Will Johnson. Will Johnson says in no shape, form, or fashion was that a fullback run because he would have remembered a fullback run given to him because fullbacks don't get the ball. So fullbacks cherish their carries. So he tries to give the ball to Will Johnson for some reason. Why would we try to be sneaky and do something like that when we're up 10? Like, there's no need for it. My thing is, look at the two tight ends. They both put their hands out like, yo, what are we doing? Because everybody rolled their eyes in the huddle. Everybody, including Ben. That is what gave me the proof to be like, yo, I think he really did his own purpose. Because he did not call a fullback run. He called an RB run, but he tried to get a ball to Will Johnson. Why would you do that? And if you blatantly wanted to fumble the ball, would you just do it, just drop the ball? No, you would do it as a miscommunication. Because you're in the NFL, you're a Hall of Fame quarterback, so you can't just drop the ball on national TV. So you're going to say it's a miscommunication. But hey, what do I know? Because everybody, oh, you're lying. You suck. See, here's why you only had 6 carries. You suck. But bro, I was in the game. I was on the field. You were at home. How would you know? So I have more information than you. Stop it, people. I know he's your hero. He's your Jesus, but you got to use your brain. You're smarter than this. Use critical thinking.
All over the map. And, you know, there are certain sound bites and there are certain videos that are posted where you just like, you cringe. Like, we all cringe when we saw Mr. Big Chest pumping away on the elliptical. What did he say? Something like, I'm going to paraphrase, but like, you want me, you know where to hit me up, but I ain't coming cheap. But whatever, something like that. He's just dripping sweat. He's got that freakishly weird blonde mustache. It was weird. This wasn't weird. This was calm. This was cool. This was collected. I'm not saying that AB's not intelligent. But Josh Harris comes across as intelligent. It doesn't sound like he's drunk, or it doesn't sound like he's high. He's still playing football. He's up in Canada, right, Mike? Is he still playing?
He was playing last year with Saskatchewan. He was with BC before that. I don't think he's currently on the Saskatchewan roster, but he was last year. He only had one carry.
Okay.
So he's not. If he's playing, he's a bit character.
I mean, what's less than one? I mean, if he's less than that, then he has zero. So he's not playing. He's not playing.
Probably
but just look
not.
It up.
Well, I mean, he's not on the roster currently. It doesn't look like he appears to be on the roster currently.
Gotcha.
But I don't follow the ins and outs of the transaction of the CFL very closely.
Why not? You're a producer of a national show. You're supposed to know everything, Santa.
It's Canadian Football League. This
so
is a
what?
National show. I don't
Do
have to worry about
Canadian. Do we talk about the Toronto Raptors?
Only because they're in the National Basketball Association.
Do we talk about the Toronto Blue Jays? Not really.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. maybe, but also Major League Baseball. I'm not talking about Canadian leagues.
Look at this guy. Do we talk about
Canadian
the Habs?
Hockey League?
We talking about the Canadians?
Again, National Hockey League.
Do we talk about Bryan Adams?
No. Damn sure better not.
Back in the summer of 69.
Do you think he picked that number on purpose? Or do you think that year specifically had an important place in his life?
I honestly believe that year represented a pivotal, impressionable year in his childhood.
So you don't think that Gronk got to him? You know,
nah,
a little baby Gronk?
I don't think so. Baby Gronk?
Yeah, baby Gronk.
No. My sister loves, she used to burn that tape out. And by the way, Bryan Adams pumped out some sick hits. I mean, D-So, you can laugh all you want. Mike, real quick, pull up Bryan Adams' top 10 songs. Take a look at this real quick.
I always think about the Robin Hood
Yeah,
song.
But that's where it started getting a little soft. And I mean, I guess a good song for its time. Wasn't a big fan of that one. Bryan Adams had some good ones. Diso, what are you laughing at? Yeah, it's a little bit before your time. So what?
I mean, it's a lot of bit before my time. And besides the summer of 69, that's probably all I got.
But you don't know anything. So what does that mean?
I'm not going to argue with you on that.
He had at least, I mean, I can still hear Casey Kasem coming up on the countdown.
I do it for you. Everything I do.
Do.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All for Love from How's Three that? Musketeers.
All for Love.
Heaven.
Oh, yeah. Heaven was a big one. Heaven was a big one.
Please Forgive Me.
I don't remember that one.
Please Forgive Me.
Yes, I do
I
now.
I know not what I do.
Do.
Man, I got a voice like
yeah, it's great.
An angel.
Angelic, it's terrific. What else?
Summer of 69, Have You Ever Really Loved, Run to You, Here I Am.
Oh, wait. Run to You actually had a good beat. Oh, I'm going to run to you. Run to You was good. I liked Run to You.
I think that's enough Bryan Adams talk for today.
That's way more Bryan Adams
Let's get
talk.
Back to Big Ben. Do you think Big Ben is really the crux of all the issues in Pittsburgh? Forget about Tomlin. Forget about Mr. Big Chest. Forget about Le'Veon holding out. Is this all come down to Big Ben? They have two Super Bowl titles, but with that talent, everyone rips Tomlin for not having more. Is it because of Big Ben?
You know what? That's Mike's way of saying, and he did say, he's like, get off this idiotic topic. Get back to football. Sometimes his compass is actually correct, and that was one time. Good job, Mike. I think that I can't absolve Tomlin here. I can't. You know, it's funny. If I get on Coughlin and the Giants, and I have, for allowing Odell Beckham Jr. to operate, you know, really however he wanted from day one, why wouldn't Mike Tomlin assume the same level of criticism for allowing either Big Ben to be maybe not the best teammate or Antonio Brown to do what he does or all the other things that have happened under his watch? Why would it be different? Coughlin actually won championships. Big Ben, Tomlin's got one.
But so I guess quarterbacks always seem to go by different rules. Forget about the AB and the Le'Veon, just Big Ben in general. Quarterbacks always seem to get a little bit more leeway.
Wait, let me challenge you on that. What quarterbacks have really proven to need that leeway? Brady doesn't need any leeway. Eli, and not that he's on that level, didn't need any. Drew Brees doesn't need any leeway.
It depends on who you're
Matt
talking
Ryan
about.
Matt Ryan doesn't need any leeway. These guys just go about their business.
Hey, Cam Newton.
Well, Cam Newton's different. And that's why I don't think Cam's great. I mean, he's really good. I think Cam's a little. Cam's the next tier down below, you know, for me.
Well, it just depends on what kind of leeway we're talking about. I mean,
well,
obviously, like.
So what do you mean?
Well, I mean, I guess leeway, not necessarily on the field as a player, but leeway in how you handle things on and off the field in the locker room.
But don't you think a quarterback takes a cue from his head coach when it comes to that? Because I do. I do.
Sure, but I think also the quarterback has become more important than the head coach, and I think now the head coach probably takes the cue from the quarterback.
Maybe in some that's an interesting retort. Maybe in the newer situations, yeah, but because Tomlin's so entrenched there and because Tomlin does have the Super Bowl when he took over for Coach Coward, you know, Coward's team, he's got a different level of cachet than Adam Gase has coming to the Jets or, you know, any other first-year coach. Freddie Kitchens with the Browns. I mean, you know, it's different.
And listen, I mean, you ask for other guys. I mean, yep. Think about someone like Aaron Rodgers, who's clearly one of the all-time greats.
Yep.
But there's rumblings, there's rumors about his personality. We had our guy, Leroy Butler, on the show.
Many
who's
times.
Constantly talked about how there's been issues. Greg Jennings has talked constantly about Aaron Rodgers' leadership and yep. ability to connect with his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Even Eli, while he doesn't do any of the stupid stuff off the field, he certainly doesn't seem like he connects.
But he's always been respected. There's not a player who played
for
with
sure,
him for any amount of time.
For sure, respected, but also, like, it
doesn't
kind of seem
Eli.
Like that Eli doesn't quite buy into the rest of what the team is doing around him.
Yeah, but Mike, forget about Eli. Nobody cares about Eli. Forget about Eli for a sec. Go back to Rodgers.
Yeah.
The fact that nobody hired Mike McCarthy, okay, when there were 8 jobs open, he said, I want the Jets job. Nobody even really, I know he interviewed it. Nobody seriously thought of hiring him. Doesn't that, on some level, maybe, exonerate or at least minimize the blame that we'd be willing to put on Rodgers? Doesn't that kind of go more to McCarthy? I think it might.
Possibly, but it could also mean that the quarterback is so powerful that when a team struggles, the blame goes on to the head coach, even when it could be the quarterback's fault. So maybe McCarthy is kind of an example of why Tomlin has been so easy on a guy like Big Ben or Jay Cutler in Denver and Chicago. Maybe the coaches realize that you can't cross your quarterback, because if you do, mm-hmm. like McCarthy kind of seemed like he was doing with Rodgers at the end
bit,
of the year.
A little bit at the end, a little bit.
Maybe that kind of like is a death knell for you. The moment you cross your star quarterback, you're out.
That's why it's going to be so interesting with John Gruden. He'd do whatever the hell he wants.
Well, the one benefit, unless Derek Carr takes that step forward, is Derek Carr is expendable as of right now.
But I mean, just based on John Gruden's contractual commitment from the Raiders, he's, you know, 10 years, $100 million. Where's he going? It doesn't matter who comes in there in the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years. If John Gruden says you're gone or you need to modify this, or it's John's rules. But then again, of course, John said he's such a good guy. He would give back the money if the Raiders aren't able to reestablish and reassert themselves. Okay. Can you imagine if he actually did that? Imagine if he gave back money. I mean, the answer is no. You could just say no. I know. You could just say no. It wasn't really a hard question because he's never going to do that.
Yeah, it didn't even cross my mind that it was worth really fully debating it. But I guess at the end of the day, if we go back real quick before we hit the end here, if you were to place an order, 1 through 4.
Culpability for the Steelers?
Yeah, let's say 1 through 5.
Uh-huh.
Front office / ownership.
Yep.
Tomlin.
Yep.
Big Ben.
Let me write down the names. Front office, Tomlin, Big Ben, AB.
Le'Veon.
And Le'Veon.
How do you rank them 1 through 5?
1 being most responsible, obviously. 5 being least responsible. In terms of culpability for the quote-unquote demise.
Go 5 to 1. Go.
All right, okay.
Least responsible, most responsible.
I like that. Least responsible to me. I think a lot of people with challenges. I'm going to say Le'Veon Bell is number 5 for me. Le'Veon Bell is least responsible. Number 4, I'm going to say the front office. I'm going to say number 4, the front office. Number 3, I'm going to say AB. People might challenge that, and I'll tell you why in a second. Number 2, I'm going to say Ben. And number 1, I'm going to say Tomlin. At the end of the day, there's a culture that's wasn't always like that, that has altered the way we view and how we respect the Steelers. And I think it's hard for any one player to really alter a culture that negatively. But I think if a head coach allows that culture to slowly unravel – without any repercussions, I've got to put him number one. I know what you mean about the quarterback. You know, he's making the big money. He's the guy. You know, the quarterback. Mike Tomlin's made a lot of mistakes, and he's let a lot of things go that he could have nipped, and maybe, you know what? Maybe the Killer Bees are still in Pittsburgh. You never know. That's my list. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney. Tiki is out. What's this coming up next? An NFL superstar reportedly under investigation for an alleged battery against a juvenile. This is new. This is not good. And we'll find out who it is. Wow. I'm just seeing that for the first time. We'll get into it coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Oh, boy. All right. You've got plans to finally do some work on your car. Hood's up, ready to go. And, you're missing a tool. Well, it's the one you don't have. And, frankly, your neighbor doesn't have it. Nobody has it because nobody knows what it is. And you may never need it again, but you need it now. What do you do? O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. With more than 80 specialized loaner tools available, they're sure to have a tool in stock to help you get the job done. Working on your steering? Well, you may need that ball joint press or a tie rod separator. Two tools you may never need again. Looking at your engine, maybe borrow a valve spring or piston ring compressor. Yeah, I got that in my back pocket. I don't even know what those things are. Then you can return it. I'm relatively handy. Well, I guess if you don't know what those things are, you're not handy. But I'm not afraid to roll up the sleeves and, you know, break things and demolish things and paint. But when it comes to putting things together, I'm terrible. Obviously, some of you are actually pretty good. So you want to try to fix brakes and try to fix the tires, the wheels, the AC, the cooling, all that stuff. Even diagnostic tools, they'll give it to you so you know you're on the right path. Here's what you do. Just purchase the needed part that you don't have and put down a deposit on the loaner tool. Return the tool in the original condition. Make sure you don't ruin it. And you receive a full refund. Pretty simple. The deposit is the purchase price. It's a good deal. It's that easy. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com, and at 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, good Friday to you, Tiki and Tierney here. Tiki is out, CBS Sports Radio, Sirius XM Channel 206. I'm just going to read because this literally has been posted within the last 20 minutes, and I certainly don't want to inject any commentary yet. I will, but I want to make sure we get this out of the way properly. As I read from the KCTV Channel 5 CBS website here in Kansas City, Overland Park, Kansas, more specifically, a battery investigation is underway involving a juvenile at the home of Kansas City Chiefs star Tyreek Hill. Overland Park police were called at 4:20 p.m. on Thursday to a home in the 16 block of Switzer Road. Officers were previously called to the same address on March 5th to investigate a report of child abuse or neglect. Hill's name is directly listed on that report. According to Overland Park police, the original report was closed 3 days later when prosecution was declined. Okay. Hill's name is not listed on the most recent battery report, but his address is the listed location. Sources tell KCTV5 that the Overland Park Police Department has turned over the investigation to the Johnson County District Attorney Office for review. A source tells KCTV News 5 that the NFL, the Chiefs, are aware of the police interactions at Hill's home, and Hill's agent would not comment on the matter and hung up the phone on KCTV's 5 investigative reporter. The Chiefs did send a statement to KCTV 5 on Friday saying they were aware of the investigation. Quote, "The club is aware of the investigation involving Tyreek Hill. We are in the process of gathering information and have been in contact with the league and local authorities. We will have no further comment at this time." Hill pleaded guilty to domestic assault and battery. You might remember this back in 2015. And his then-pregnant girlfriend said he choked her and punched her in the face and stomach in December 2014 while he was still at Oklahoma State University. The judge deferred Hill's sentence for 3 years, gave him a clean slate. According to court records, Hill's domestic assault and battery charges for 2014 were eventually dismissed. Well, this can't possibly be good for Tyreek Hill. Um, I mean, you know, what do you really say? I mean, I'm reading this for the first time. He obviously has an ugly past. We had him out at the Super Bowl. Seemed like a pretty, you never know. Seemed like a pretty pleasant young man. Seemed like he had his stuff together. Again, that most of the time means nothing. Put on an act. I hear you. If this is true. But, I mean, there's a lot of dots to connect to his history. And, you know, one thing about the NFL that's really hard to gauge now is would they incorporate that in any possible punishment and pile on based on the fact that there are other things on his record that we're aware of now? And my guess would be yes. My guess would be yes. I don't know how as a league, as a corporate entity, that you don't do that. I mean, if we talk about, I don't know that you can have the exact opposite, like in the situation, if somebody makes a mistake for the first time, I don't know how you can say, give that person a second chance, which I do, provided it's not incredibly heinous and incredibly egregious. I've always said that. But how could you say give somebody a second chance, but then in the same sentence say, if somebody has two or three marks on their record, how do you give them a fourth chance? Like it's just too much room. I don't know, Mike, you've been reading some other stuff, I'm sure. What else is popping up?
Well, I guess the thing that stands out to me is the first thing happened when he was at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
So obviously it's something that happened in his past, but it was not something that happened while he was a member of the NFL. So you talk about second chances, third chances. I mean, if the investigation deems to be true or there's charges and there's legitimacy behind this, I mean, could we have seen Tyreek Hill's last game in the NFL? Or do they give him a little bit of a leeway? And the fact that this happened and it's coming out the day that the NFL announced the suspension of his former teammate with the Chiefs, Kareem Hunt, I mean...
Oh, boy.
I mean, we give these coaches credit for giving guys a second chance. Andy Reid seems like a guy with integrity, and he's not just win first, but at what point do you have to start saying...
Well... I mean, I could already cut you off and answer that. That's not going to be Andy Reid's decision here. I mean, at some point, there's got to be a pecking order of authority that needs to weigh in on this. It's one thing to give, you know, a young man or two or three certain incidents, a second chance to really, you know, get it right in life and learn from it and become a better person. Obviously, you got to be able to ball. Otherwise, I mean, it's still a football operation. You got to play, and if you got talent, generally they'll probably be more willing to give you that extra chance, but. To answer you directly here, Mike, you know, that's why I said before, and I had no idea this was going to pop up, and we took a lot of calls on this. That's why, and that's still why, this further illuminates why I did not position, you know, Kareem Hunt's actions as egregious. You know, they were bad. They were borderline criminal, although he wasn't actually charged. But I didn't think they were egregious. You know, what I'm reading here, this is egregious. This is the difference. Yeah, Tyreek Hill's got some problems in front of him. Big ones. And if this happened, rightfully so. It's the way it's got to be. I mean, this is the crazy thing about the NFL. And, you know, well, I don't want to jinx anybody, but this just doesn't happen in the NBA. For all the criticisms about the NBA... When was the last time you heard something like this? I mean, I'm sure I'm missing one, but I mean, this is a constant thread in the NFL. Yeah, they're predisposed to be more aggressive. It's the nature of the job. It's the nature of the gig, the physicality of football versus, and obviously the NBA is physical, but not nearly as physical as the NFL. Do you want to lead on head trauma that alters reality? I'm sure that's been the impetus behind a lot of indiscretion. But, I mean, usually that's, again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I don't know, but usually that comes a little later in life, you know, as the brain really kind of loses functionality. If you know, CTE, everything we've talked about. I mean, again, without saying that I believe he's definitely guilty, because I don't know, this just seems like a guy who's not a good guy. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to say that this is a coincidence. I mean, come on. All right. We'll see. We'll follow it, obviously. 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney. We got Jay Berman's update. Obviously, if you're into the seedings, and we all are, a very fluid day. Somebody steals a bid, and your team's on the bubble. I believe that happened with Rhode Island VCU today. So like in the A-10, they're now going to get two seeds. So VCU had a ton of wins, obviously, safely in. They didn't win the conference tournament. They got knocked out by Rhodey, and Rhodey's down, obviously. But VCU is still going to get that dance. If Rhode Island wins the tournament, then that's two. Now, if you're on the bubble, like St. John's is moving in that direction now. Arizona State is in that direction. Belmont's, I mean, there's a few teams, different, you know, levels of competition, mid-major, high-major. That's what you got to watch out for. And that's why this is incredibly fluid. So we'll all get wrapped up in Duke, Carolina tonight, 9 Eastern tip. It's going to be awesome. But a lot of the storylines are actually being written in the games that have less profile. So Jay's got some scores. Jay's got the update. Here's Jay Berman coming at you. All right, Tiki and Tierney here on a Friday. By the way, March Madness officially kicks off the NCAA selection show. CBS has the big reveal, breaks down all the brackets, find out if your team is in and where it's going to go. Coming up Sunday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific on CBS. And if you listen to the show, you know I do St. John's games. And Mike Diesel, I mean, I flip a coin. Now I have no idea. Now Joe Lenardi has St. John's as going to the play-in game in Dayton. He just updated that. And the next step is the NIT. I mean, you know, there's nowhere to go from there. You know, from Dayton, you go from Dayton to hosting a home game in your arena against a team that nobody wants to come and watch you play in a tournament that nobody wants to support. Now, if you're an up-and-coming team, if you're a mid-major, you know, there's value in the NIT. But, I mean, based on where St. John, at one point they were ranked this year, they were 12-0. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Getting a little worried here, Mike.
You just got to hope that our guy Jerry Palm is closer than Lenardi. Because
why? What's Jerry got?
He's got them as an 11 seed,
nice.
Not even playing in Dayton.
Woohoo! Is that against Mississippi State? Because he had them there a little bit. Who does he have them against?
That's up against number 6, Maryland.
Maryland.
I can see them beating Maryland's actually pretty sneaky good.
They got a huge big man who's going to be a top 10 pick in the NBA, and St. John's has no size. But at that point, I'll worry about that problem there. But did Jerry update? Because
it was 7:30 this morning.
But that's before the bid was stolen in the Atlantic 10. So that may have really, because you're not, oh, God. Yeah, it's going to be Sweatville. It's going to be Sweatville. All right, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is this. Eric Rolene at E. Ruddle. Does Charles Barkley have a good point that R.J. Barrett should be the number one pick and will be better than Zion? You know, it's funny. At one point, I actually thought that. I mean, this was a while ago. Or at least I toyed with the notion, independent of when. I don't even know when Charles did. Did Charles just say that? He just said that yesterday before Zion came back? Because that's important. I love Charles. I love Charles. I really do. But he's starting to say some wacky stuff. I mean, he's starting to say some really wacky stuff.
It was on another national radio show before the game.
Before the game. I would like to hear his opinion after the game. I mean, I know a lot of the baskets were dunks, but to play high minutes, to, you know, cardiovascularly be there after not having played since February 20th, whatever it was, 36 seconds in against UNC, to have all those steals, 14 rebounds, you know, Charles knows more basketball. He's forgotten more than I'll ever know, but Charles says some really weird things. I disagree with that. There was a point early, like I'm talking first 3 weeks of the season, where I was beginning to engage in that debate. Internally, I'm like, let me watch Barrett just a little more. I like Barrett, and he might even be more pro-ready than Zion, maybe. But if you have the first overall pick and you don't take Zion Williamson as the GM, you should be literally shown the door as soon as that ping pong drops. Like, I mean, you got to go. Pack your stuff and get out. I'm going to send you to Europe. You're now a scout because you can't scout college. You go. So I would disagree with Charles there, with all due respect. And, of course, think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. Charles Barkley. I mean, I love Charles, but you think Charles is going to – how old is Charles now? We'll get to the blast in a second, Mike. How old is Charles? 60? 58? I'm going to say late 50s. 56. You still see Charles doing that gig at like 62? Like, how does that play? I'm not saying it won't, but is Charles still rolling on that desk at age 62? You think so? D-Cell saying no. I don't think so either.
I'm actually a little surprised he's still doing it. I mean, the show is still fantastic.
It's a great show.
But to your point, every year, a few more things are outlandish, a little out there.
Yeah.
I don't think he's doing it for much longer, but what do I know?
And the crazy thing is, I don't think he's doing it. He's not doing it for clicks because he's not even on social media.
I think everything he says, he believes.
Which you got to respect. And by the way, as much as we say he might be nuts about his assertion with Zion Williamson, he could ultimately be right. I mean, it's not like he's guaranteed to be wrong. You know, there's been a lot of guys who have Mike, pull up. We'll get to the Blazers. Pull up the all the number one picks in the history of the NBA. Just pull them up for a sec if you can. Mike is going to look that up in a moment. By the way, if you missed parts of the show today, just go to tikiandtierney.com. iTunes, podcast. Jerry was with me. Jerry Ferrara yesterday was awesome. Tiki was out. He's out again on Monday, so we had a good spot with Jerry for three straight hours. It's always good stuff to listen to. All right, Mike, start from... I feel like going on a little journey right now. So I'm going to take you back. Go to 1980. I'm going all the way back. Go to 80 and just go, you know, relatively slow. Just the number one picks. Go.
So... It's funny you say 80 because 79 is Magic.
That's, go ahead.
All right. 80, Joe Barry Carroll.
Not worthy. Good, but not even close.
Mark Aguirre.
Mark was terrific. Mark Aguirre was. Now, Isaiah went in that draft as well. His buddy from Chicago, number two. Obviously, Isaiah had a bit of a better career, but Mark Aguirre was a beast. I got no problem. And I know Mark. I like Mark. Mark was thought to be a real tough guy and not easy to get along with. His time with the Knicks, I had some great conversations with Mark. He was great.
You talk about Worthy, yep. 82 is James Worthy.
Great.
Ralph Sampson?
Could have been great. His knees betrayed him. He just didn't have a healthy body.
Next two no-brainers, Hakeem and Patrick.
Next.
Brad Daugherty.
Who was number two in that? Now I'm going to put you on a rabbit hole. You know what? Don't worry, because then we'll just get lost in this. Brad Daugherty was a really good pro. I mean, that Craig Elo, Mark Price, Ron Harper, Fratello Cavs team, Brad Daugherty made a couple of All-Star teams. I'd like to know who was drafted two and three behind them. Do you have somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, number two, Lynn Bias.
I thought that was the Bias draft. Oh, yeah. I thought
and then
that
Chris
was.
Chris Washburn, three.
Chris Washburn got washed out with drugs, unfortunately. Yeah. NC State, right? Golden yeah. State. Okay. Daugherty was good, but obviously. And we don't know what Bias would have been, although I think he would have been a monster in the NBA.
Then you go with David Robinson.
Number one.
One of the all-time greats. Yep. Danny Manning.
Not worthy.
And by the way, good, but I mean, he was so good in college, you couldn't...
Stop.
But he was so good in college.
Danny Manning was not a good pro.
No, but I'm saying he was so good in college, you couldn't not pick him number one.
You want to bet? You know who you should have really taken? The guy who went number two overall.
Rick Smith? Come on.
My boy from Marist.
Who's taking Marist number one? Mitch Richmond at number five was a better option.
Yeah, Mitch Richmond was terrific.
That
all
wasn't
right,
a great draft. Charles Smith, Chris Morris, Mitch Richmond,
oh,
Hershey
Chris
Hawkins.
Chris Morris was a mess with the
Nets. Tim Perry, Rex Chapman. Ronnie Cycli, number nine.
Tim Perry go to Temple? Where'd Tim Perry go?
Temple, yeah.
Yeah, he played for the Suns. He
so
was
it,
the
it wasn't
tie.
It wasn't a great draft to begin with.
No, it wasn't.
Dan Marley may have been the best player at, well, I guess Mitch, obviously.
Yeah,
five,
Mitch was great.
Dan Marley, Rod Strickland, not a great draft.
Okay. Keep going.
Anthony Mason was in the second round that year.
Oh, that's right. Mason.
Purvis
peace,
Ellison
buddy.
In 89.
Never nervous. I could see why they did it out of Louisville, number one, but he didn't pan out. He bounced around.
The next couple are pretty interesting. Derek Coleman.
DC. You know what? You had to take Derek Coleman, number one.
Same thing with the next guy, Larry Johnson.
No doubt. Grandmama.
Shaq.
Shaq Boo.
C. Webb. Glenn Robinson.
Whoa, look at these names. Wait, did you say Glenn?
Mm-hmm.
Big Dog played for Coach Katy at Purdue, and he was an unstoppable scorer. Give me a couple of the people that went behind him in the draft.
I mean, immediately behind him.
Go ahead.
Jason Kidd, Grant Hill.
Oh, boy. Okay. No arguments. Those guys should have
been drafted. Sorry, Big Dog.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that because Grant Hill was so good.
Yeah, he was.
And I remember everyone was talking about Kidd and Hill going one, maybe Glenn. But Glenn Robinson was a scorer, and the other guys were just such – all-around players.
You know what? It's funny you say it. You know what penalized, even though Jason couldn't shoot then, even though he learned to shoot, but coming out of Cali couldn't shoot at all. What penalized Grant Hill was that it wasn't fully accepted or evolved, the notion around the NBA about kind of a positionless player. And Grant Hill, not that he's going to really run the point, but he could in spots and obviously play two, play three, defensive versatility. If this was now, Grant Hill, if Grant Hill didn't get hurt, Grant Hill might have been one of the top. Let me think about this. Hold on. Might have been one of the top 20 players of all time. Grant Hill was great. Who else?
All right, now we're getting to 1995. Joe Smith.
Joe Maryland, Smith from Maryland.
Didn't do much. Allen Iverson next.
AI.
Tim Duncan, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Michael Olowokandi.
From Pacific.
Yeesh.
Bust.
Elton Brand, Kenyon Martin back-to-back.
You know, Elton.
Great in college, but neither of them really. I mean,
no,
Elton was
no,
good
no,
for
no,
a couple
no.
years.
Oh, no, no. First of all, Elton Brand, before he ruptured his Achilles, Elton Brand's first 5 years, Elton Brand was a borderline superstar and a high-character guy. I'm okay with that one.
Next, you had a real, real big miss. Kwame Brown.
Kwame?
Yao Ming.
That was a gutsy call because you just never know with that body. But
and listen, if his body held up,
yep.
I mean, he is a Hall of Famer,
I
but
know.
More because of what he did for international basketball. But he was great.
You want to hear something? I agree, obviously. Something crazy. I was at, this is when I was doing the Knicks. I was at every game, but I was at the game when Nate Robinson blocked Yao Ming's shot. It's on YouTube. You got to see it. It's incredible. Go ahead.
I wish I was at the game where Vince Carter put his
no, did a little
something
jock strap
on
Freddie
Vice.
Vice.
Yeah.
Leave Freddie Vice. He's had a tough life.
So
leave
then
Freddie
we go
alone.
To 2003, a little bit more current.
Mm-hmm.
We got LeBron,
mm-hmm.
Dwight Howard,
okay.
Andrew Bogut.
Okay.
Andrew Bogut was not.
Wait, but the Andrew Bogut, yeah, definitely didn't live up to number one status. Give me the three guys behind Bogut in that draft.
Marvin Williams didn't do much.
Nope.
And then you had the point guard run. Darren Williams, Chris Paul, Raymond Felton. Felton wasn't very good, but
no.
Obviously, you know,
I mean,
Darren
a serviceable
CP3.
Career, obviously, Raymond. Still playing.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Let's see here. Where are we back at? Bargnani and Greg Oden in 06-07. You got 08, Derrick Rose, who until he tore his ACL, he was incredible.
No doubt about it. MVP.
Blake Griffin.
Yep, no doubt
Blake
about
Griffin's
it.
Been, I mean, he's been good, but man, based on what he was at Oklahoma and what we thought he could be.
Yeah, he's having a really good year for the Pistons, Mike.
Yeah, no, I get it, but like,
I know.
Thought he'd be a transcendent player, and he was fun, but he was never transcendent.
And by the way, people forget, he sat out his entire rookie season.
Yeah.
Didn't play at all.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
John Wall.
John Wall, I don't like where John, well, now he's a mess. Now he's hurt. I thought John Wall maybe 3 years ago was at that pivotal point. Is he going to be a high-volume star, or is he going to be a superstar? Now, he'll obviously never be a superstar, but John Wall, for a point, was the fastest guy baseline to baseline in the NBA. What a sick handle.
We got Kyrie.
Okay.
The Brow, Anthony Davis.
Okay.
And this guy's been just, I mean, this might be the worst first overall pick ever.
Worse than Kwame?
Yeah.
Worse than Olowokandi?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Anthony
where you go.
Bennett.
That's right.
I mean, that might be the worst. I mean, you go back. Olowokandi at least had a cup of tea.
Yeah.
A cup of coffee. I don't know if he had a cup of tea, but he had a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
Kwame Brown had
you'd have to sip the tea.
Yeah,
he wasn't around long enough to sip.
He sipped a little bit, but I mean, Anthony Bennett's done nothing. I mean, he couldn't even make it in the G League.
Atrocious.
Wish. Andrew Wiggins, he's had flashes.
Who? What? Give me the couple of guys behind Wiggins. I forgot. Top right behind Wig.
Wiggins was Jabari Parker.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid. And
yep.
Joel Embiid fell back. There was injury concern already in college.
No question.
Aaron Gordon's coming into his own now. Dante Exum never really, I mean, the knee injury.
Utah took him, right?
Yeah, but,
yeah, I liked
but
him.
The knee injury early. He just never panned out.
I liked him. I remember I liked him a lot, but he has not worked out. Who else?
Julius Randle, 7.
Okay.
He's starting to come into his
terrific
own. And
season.
Then, you know, Stauskas, Noah Vonleh.
I got you. Okay, give me the next years.
Let's see. Then we got Towns, Ben Simmons, Fultz, and Ayton.
Markel, wait. Are we sure that Fultz is not worse than Michael Bennett or Anthony Bennett?
Well, here's the difference with Fultz. If Fultz does not pan out, it's injury and mental.
He's not even practicing.
Understandable, but like similar to a Sam Bowie or injury, mental health issues. It's different than Anthony Bennett just being terrible.
Can't play.
So we might not know ever about Fultz.
Mm-hmm.
He might go into that Sam Bowie.
Sam Bowie and Samson, but since we Sam Bowie had a couple of really good years in the NBA. I mean, he did. Look up his numbers, 17 points, 9 rebounds, back then when there was more of a big man spot. By the way, kudos to me. I didn't fake doing the blast, so I just effectively burned through. And by the way, I like doing that every once in a while. You know, I didn't fake doing the blast today, so I just wanted to rip through some draft picks.
And just real quick, we ranked who was most to blame for Pittsburgh's problems.
Yes, yeah.
Oddly enough, the front office is getting the majority of the blame.
We got
a couple AB, we got a couple Tomlin, but it's a lot of the front office.
But I would imagine nobody exonerates Tomlin at all. Like, I would think that Bell would get more freedom from that.
Bell and AB are getting a lot of, you know, in the back. It's been mostly about Big Ben.
Front office and Tomlin.
But the front office has gotten at least 65% of the commentary.
Interesting. All right, Zion tonight. I think Duke's going to win. Duke's going to win this game. And, you know, UNC is good, but this is must-watch. And that's how we started the show. It's how we end the show. Zion, I mean, how do you not watch him? Cannot wait to watch him play basketball. He's pretty good at it. Terrific young man as well. All right, everybody have an outstanding weekend. Tiger Woods, hopefully he gets some birds early tomorrow, gets up the board a little bit, maybe gets into contention. Enjoy all the hoops. I'll be sweating out Sunday with St. John's. Hopefully I get to go. And we will see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Peace. Gotta go.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.